You're listening to the Liabotza Podcast, conversations with musicians and characters from the Shanghai music scene, hosted by Theo Croker. In this episode, Theo raps with DJ Mau Mau. And now here's your host, Theo Croker.
What's up, Liabotza? You're here again with the podcast with Theo and Mate. And today we're talking to Sam Mowry, DJ Mau Mau. Say, what's up, DJ Mau Mau?
What's up, Liabotza?
That's right, that's right. So we're going to be talking to Sam about some interesting things today. You go by Sam or DJ Mau Mau?
I think Sam's good.
Okay, we'll go by Sam. He's gonna put down the alias for today. Sam, if you could first kind of tell us about yourself, like where you're from and how you got into music.
Okay. I'm from Cape Elizabeth, Maine, which is in the United States. It's a small town of like 8,000 people. It's really small. And I've done sort of different music things for a long time and never really stuck with anything. Like I had like piano lessons and then some drum lessons, and then I did clarinet in band for a long time. It's like me and two guys and 15 girls all playing the clarinet.
It's a good reason to play the clarinet.
It's pretty nice. And so I didn't play anything for probably 3 or 4 years, and then got to college and met another guy named Sam, who is also from my state, a little island, who is a DJ. And we got to be friends, and he started teaching me how to DJ. And so that was how I sort of got into that.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what kind of music do you play as a DJ?
Right now, what I play is I DJ dance music. It's all electronic music. And the things I've been playing a lot lately, dance music kind of has a lot of sort of silly genres that I never really have a handle on myself. But lately, I've been really liking a lot of house music. Fidget House, I really like. Some techno.
What is Fidget House?
It's kind of like electro house, except, I mean, I guess it's easier to sort of name people. There's some producers, Italian guys, Crookers and the Bloody Beetroots. I'd say they're both kind of fidget housey. There's a British kid who's really young. There's a lot of people who I've been playing who are like 18 and 19, which is a little scary to me, but FOMO is a really good fidget house producer. And it's, I could try to sing it, but that would just be ugly.
Go for it.
No, maybe the next interview I'll bring my pipes.
Cool.
And then, I mean, some techno, some sort of minimal techno. A lot of the music that I've been sort of getting into lately, I listened to a lot of just sort of electro for a while that had very kind of rock music rhythms, and a lot of the things I've been liking lately have some like Latin and African sounding drums in them. I've been liking that, some more like tech house things that sound sort of, I don't know, futuristic and science fiction-y. But as far as, I feel like I'm sort of in a strange position with dance music, because I'm not, like, being an American for one, an American that's not from, like, New York or LA, like, I didn't, like, grow up listening to really any of it. Like, I only DJed hip-hop for 2.5 years.
Wow.
And I listened to rock music for a long time, and it was really only after I studied abroad here in Shanghai 3 years ago and started going to places like Logo that I started listening at all to dance music,
right.
I really enjoyed and sort of started messing around with a little bit when I went back home. And since moving back here, it's really sort of taken over the music that I've listened to and enjoyed playing out.
So how long have you been in Shanghai?
A year and a half total. I studied here for a semester 3 years ago, and then just moved back after I graduated college. Hey, dude.
It's about a year and a half?
About a little more than a year and a half now.
Cool. So, what do you value about playing music?
I've always liked listening to music for reasons that would probably be hard to describe. I like to dance a lot, which is something that I sort of, I think, fought against my whole life. Like, my sister's a ballet dancer, and I sort of thought that was boring and stupid until I was probably, I don't know, 18 or 19. Like, I was always around, because of her, I was sort of always around dance and very much resisted it. And, like, thought that, I don't know, I couldn't understand dancing. I played tennis, and, like, that was about it.
You look like a tennis player.
But yeah, I guess I still kind of have a body. But like, that's a big part of it for me, that, like, I think if I were DJing in places where people didn't dance at all, I don't think it would be very funny. Like, I like sharing my music with people.
Right.
I think it's wonderful. And, like, I did a radio show in college and I really enjoyed that.
Mm.
So it's not, I guess it's not all that, and I like sharing things that I think sounds good.
Mm.
But when I'm DJing, I think sort of the thing that I most like to see that gives me kind of a little, like, snap of, like,
mm-hmm.
good feeling is if I can get people to kind of get up and start moving.
Right. Definitely. So what are you thinking about when you're playing? Like, what are you concentrating on? What's going through your mind?
Oh, God. I guess, I mean, there's, like, worries about what I'm doing technically. They're probably constantly running through my head. Well, there's so many kind of different technologies you can DJ with,
mm-hmm.
and I've switched them a lot. Like, I used to DJ on records back home, and then I started DJing with Serato, which is a program that you can use to sort of simulate records with your laptop,
right.
Which I know a lot of people here use. And then when I came out to Shanghai, I couldn't really use that because I didn't have turntables.
Mm.
So I switched to using a program called Ableton Live.
Right.
That, like, I met some, like, people like Reggie in STD, like, DJs really well with Ableton, and there are a lot of people who use that here. And so I sort of started to get comfortable with that, and then a little while ago I decided to switch to just using CDs. And so I'm still kind of, I don't know. I don't know if it's just me getting, like, being unable to settle down with any one way of DJing, but I feel like I'm always trying to, like, learn or relearn something.
So maybe you're always progressing.
I mean, I would like to. That's a nice way
Ableton
to put it.
Gives me a headache.
Yeah, me too. I definitely have, I used to think that maybe it was cheating, and after seeing so many people here DJ with it so well, I don't think that at all. But I think for me, when I was using it, I would definitely sort of get sucked into staring at a screen for my whole set and be, you know, less able to kind of interact with what people were doing in the place where I'm DJing.
Right.
Which I'm glad I'm doing. Like, in the end, like, DJing on vinyl just sort of feels, like, delicious. Like, it's really nice, and I don't know if anything will touch that. But, like, using CDs now, it has a lot of elements of that I'd forgotten, the things that I liked about it.
Right.
Like, it's really easy to mess up really badly with vinyl or with CDs. And in Ableton, it's a little bit harder to ruin everything.
Ableton does a lot for you.
Exactly. And so I think it almost keeps me, like, listening a little bit closer, just because I can sort of wreck everything at any given moment.
See you later.
So what makes a good DJ?
That's a good question. I mean, there's having, like, something I've sort of debated with roommates and other people who DJ a lot. Like, really liking your music, I feel like, is a starting point. Like, if you're kind of tired of your music, you're probably not going to be DJing it and sharing it in a way that is making people want to dance or listen to it or, like, you know, have a drink or even stay in the same room that you're in. I read a book lately called Last Night a DJ Saved My Life, which I saw on my friend's bookshelf and thought it would be, like, a trashy novel, but it's actually, like, a history of sort of dance music, which was really nice for me because I feel like if I lived in, like, Berlin, I would know all these things and know, like, about disco and techno and house, but I really, like, I didn't before I read it. There's a quote in it from Fatboy Slim, who I really like, where he says that for him, when he goes to a party and watches a DJ, the biggest measure for him as to how successful the DJ is how much eye contact the DJ makes with the crowd. And I don't know if that's my measure exactly, but I feel like there's something to that too. Like if you're playing sometimes you'll see someone play a perfect set, but they're entirely absorbed in what they're doing and they look like they might as well be in their bedroom. And sometimes when I see that, it's sort of like you might as well put on like a mixed CD of what they're doing if there's no aspect of them kind of being part of the party at all. So I think, I don't know, some combination of like really liking your music and wanting to share your music and also wanting to sort of be a part of what's happening wherever you're playing.
That makes sense. So what's your favorite kind of crowd to DJ for?
My favorite kind of
crowd. Or your favorite kind of vibe to create?
It's awesome. Like I'm constantly happy in Shanghai that I'm not DJing American college parties because that was not the kind of vibe that people here, like, I hope I still like can remember what that's like for a long time, because people here, at least in the places that we've been lucky to play, like in like C's where we kind of got started, and in Logo and Shelter and Not Me, the places where we play now, people are pretty open, which I think is like, if people are sort of willing to follow you, even when it's not the song that they've heard on the radio 10 times, I think that's sort of like, that's like a starting point at least. If people are willing to listen and like consider songs that they haven't heard before as maybe something they would want to listen to. And I guess like a combination of that and, I mean, having a lot of people at a party always helps, and having a lot of people that like want to be partying. It's some combination of those things.
Cool.
Yeah.
So can you tell us,
dancing on the couch is really the only thing.
Can you tell us about the Baijiu robots?
The Baijiu robot? The infamous Baijiu robot?
The infamous Baijiu robots.
So Baijiu robot is my friend Ian, who's in Dalian now, and myself. And it got started, I was lucky to meet him because I had a really good friend who taught at the same school as him. And we found out pretty quickly that we liked, it's actually the hip-hop that we realized we liked the same. We both really liked an MC named MF Doom and started talking about like him and all that kind of stuff. And we hung out more, and like he was kind of starting to get into DJing. And I had, you know, I was sort of still practicing, but I was really wrapped up in my kindergarten teaching job and all those things. And so we started hanging out and practicing, and I would show him things with DJing, he would share music with me, and it worked out really well, and after a while, it was clear that we sort of had something going together, and it was turned into, like, why not throw a party?
Wow.
And so I think our first party was, we did something called the Holiday Love Explosion at Windows Underground.
Oh, cool.
Like, I think it was last, like, November or so. And nobody came, and it was a great time. We had a friend of ours, Kiara, who came at, like, 1 in the morning and just, like, held down the dance floor for 3 hours.
Nice.
And we were just both, like, giddy, I think, out of our minds to play in a bar in China, which is never... I mean, we both really like going out, and, like, we hung out a lot together. Like, we would see good shows at the Shelter. And talk about that kind of thing, or be a Logo. We both found out pretty quickly that we're both awful breakdancers, but if we're drunk enough, we can be coerced by other horrible breakdancers into attempting to breakdance. That was sort of a point we had in common. So that was the beginning of Baijiu Robot. And then he went into C's one day and said, what do you guys have on Thursday? They said, nothing, why don't you come DJ and do a party? And from there it was, I mean, it's sort of grown almost on its own from there, which has been, I mean, unbelievably lucky that we have, like, people that keep coming out to our parties, and that, like, in Shanghai, I have friends in New York who are, like, some of the people who taught me how to DJ are in New York now, which is... I don't know, maybe DJ, capital of the world. And these are people that I know have, like, 10 times the technical skill and like way more of this like dedication to their music than I have, and they're like lucky to get booked for a house party or something like that. And Shauna is just like, it's been an absolutely incredible opportunity, and that the like the people who sort of like run things and organize parties here have just seemed overwhelmingly sort of open to like bringing in new people and like, hey, why don't you come like do a night with us, and like you guest on Art and we'll guest on yours. People are really generous here.
Really?
Which is, yeah, I've gotten very little of the sort of you need to suck up to people feeling, or like you have to like put in your time licking the shoes of like Mr. Big DJ man. Which I sort of, I got a taste of that when I was a student studying abroad here. I started going to Logo a lot on Wednesdays. They had a party called Free Club, where it was like these two German guys would DJ and someone would play like live like jazz instrument. They had like guitarists and horn players and things like that. And I got talking one night to Sebastian, Tutikul, probably murdering his DJ name. I never really learned how to say it. But, and he was just super nice and like shared all these places that he got his music with me and sort of set me up with a lot of the stuff he was DJing just like out of the blue. I'd never like met him before. And so I went home and started DJing this like strange German like minimal house music. And so like I sort of from the start, but my impression of Shauna was that people were like, you know, give you a shot.
So what do you think about the audience in Shanghai?
The audience. The things I don't have a whole lot to compare it to, besides, like, I haven't lived other than being in, like, I was in Washington, D.C. for a summer. I didn't, like, party much or, like, encounter very many nightclubs. So I basically lived in, like, nowhere Maine and college in Western Massachusetts, which is neither a hotbed for, like, partying. So I don't know what seems... And this is in part from, like, hearing other people say this, and it seems right, but, so, like, Shanghai, even though there's a lot of expats here, like, maybe, I don't know, there's like, 1 million or something like that, the people who go out and support music seem like the same kind of crowd that will go to, like, they'll come to our shows, and they will go see a punk rock concert, and they will go see Void do, like, purist hard techno in the shelter. And they'll go to, you know, Jay-Z or a place like that.
It's the
and
same
like,
audience.
It's the same thing, which is cool. I imagine if you, like, really want to get away from them, it's a little difficult. But I have yet to, maybe I'm not, I haven't been here long enough, but I've yet to experience that. So, I mean, I like the crowd, and, like, I think part of, like, the way that they... that people here are comfortable, like, they don't have to identify themselves with a scene, which I think happens, and, like, I've heard back home that, like, that can be sort of one of the, like, if you, like, it's easy to feel in other places, like, you're out of your scene, or that it's, like, the wrong scene for you, and in a place like Shanghai where it all just sort of mixes, you don't have that, which I think means... maybe in the end, the people are more open-minded to it.
So there's one scene, the Shanghai scene. The Shanghai scene. The Shanghai entertainment scene.
Yeah,
I feel you on that. So what do you think is necessary to improve in Shanghai clubs and audiences? What do you think is missing, or what would you like to see more of?
You should ask a more jaded DJ these questions, I really, I don't know, well, I mean, there's definitely sort of a split in Shanghai, that there are 1,000 nightclubs, and the majority of them, are designed in a very similar way, with, you know, I mean, tables all over the dance floor, and everyone is kind of, like, ordering bottle service and not paying a whole lot of attention to music and that kind of thing. But I feel like that's probably the case most any place you go, that there are a whole lot of people that want to go out and maybe don't care particularly about the music, or want to hear music that they're very familiar with, which, like, I can understand. Like, I don't know. Like, I have plenty of friends who want to listen to the same things when they go out, and, I mean... I like listening to different things, but maybe that's just me. and so, I don't know, like there could be more places. Like, I mean, the places I really love here are, I mean, I guess the Shelter and Logo first and foremost, which, like, there's always new things, and, like, I'll go and I won't know who's playing, and it'll surprise me in a good way, and I won't pay very much for it, and, you know, I'll bring Bijo in my pocket. Like, there could be more places like that, but, and I guess there are more and more places like that. I mean, there's places like Dada and Nami opening up, and which is nice to see. And so, I mean, it's almost like I don't have that many ideas about how it could change, because I feel like it almost is changing, like, mm-hmm. just as fast as I can keep up with. And so, I mean, I it seems pretty good the way it is. I don't know how it's going to, like, shake out with, like, new clubs around and what's going to stay and what's going to go. But, I mean, it seems like a good group of people, which is probably the bottom line, and they'll find places that work.
Cool.
Sounds very unjaded.
I'm clearly.
So what's the plan of the Bijo World?
I meant to affect more jadedness for this interview. It's not going well.
It's okay. What's the plan of the Bijo Robots? What's next?
Take over the world. No. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a very good feeling for, like, what I want out of DJing, I don't think. Like, I enjoy a good night out, and I would like to have more nights that seem like awesome nights. And, like, when we work hard on promotion and, like, really put a lot of thought into a party, it's more fun. I don't know if, like, I would want DJing to be my career. I don't know if I would want to be a superstar DJ flying around all the place and...
Try it first.
Like, yeah, I mean, why not? And, like, if it goes there, like, I imagine that'd be pretty cool. But, I mean, as for right now, like, I think I'm still catching up with sort of the idea of the fact that we're playing regularly in the places that, you know, less than a year ago were the places that I really used to like to just go out and drink and dance and have fun. And so, like, I don't know, maybe we should do, like, a one-year anniversary when I'm, like, jaded and want out and, like, need to go to, like, Ibiza and be, like, king of the DJs or something. But right now, like, I mean, we're playing two, three times a week right now, which is more than I could have imagined, and it's a lot, and I'm still getting used to, like, what that feels like in the first place. And so sort of our next move... to me, is just, like, making sure that we're doing what we do now better.
Cool. Where can we hear your music? Tell the Live Boots audience where we can check you out.
Well, as of right now, we play most Tuesdays at Logo, almost every Tuesday, and our buddy VJ Maculate does visuals there, which are really sweet. We host a night every Friday at Not Me. Mm-hmm. Which is a new bar with a really sweet sort of egg-shaped dance floor.
I like that.
Which is, it's nice. And we have a lot of guests through there, which is fun. And we're also now doing the first Wednesday of every month at the Shelter with Eclectic that Slackerton runs. And so those are kind of the main places you can find us. I think we're probably going to be playing at Dada with the Acid Pony Club. Something like, I don't know, we got to play with them there last month. Mm. They're really sweet to play with. Lately, also, we've been getting more and more sort of support from friends in a good way. Like, the M&O show is a new, like, sort of live synth act here. They've come and played with us at Logo a couple times, which has been awesome. And so I hope we'll be doing more stuff with people who are making their own music and that kind of thing. So, but those are the main places where, I mean, that's where it's going to be for a while, I think.
Cool. You heard it here on Laya Butza with Sam Maru, DJ Mau Mau.
Yo.
Check it out. Do you have a MySpace?
I have a blog, but I never updated.
Well, where's your
friend me on Facebook.
Facebook. Facebook DJ Mau Mau?
Just Sam Maury.
Sam Maury. Spell it out, Sam.
M-A-U-R-E-Y.
You hear that?
Maury.
Sam Maury.
Yeah, be my friend.
Thank you for coming and checking us out on Laya Butza.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Laya Butza podcast. Tune in next week for more interviews from Theo Croker and Laya Butza. Be sure to check out liabota.com for music reviews from Shanghai's live music scene, reviews of albums from around the world, editor's picks for weekend shows, and more. That's liabozi.com.